Will you turn with me, please, to the passage that we read together, Matthew chapter 11. Let's turn again to verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now, in this particular section, we have to note that it comes immediately following the rebuke of Christ to those cities of Chorazin and Bethsaida and also Capernaum. The reason for the rebuke is their lack of repentance in the face of the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you read that passage, you might think, well, this is the death knell for Israel. Here is Christ, and he's saying that they are an unrepentant people who do not deserve the gospel. They are a people so bad that even the very heathen themselves would have repented before them, and they would have been saved had they so repented. And so you might expect that following that there would be some kind of further condemnation of the people of Israel. And yet no. For here we see the grace of God, that following such a condemnation for lack of repentance, there is a heartfelt call to repentance from the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the nature of the gospel, that in the face of sin, the gospel comes forth with a call for men and women, boys and girls, to repent and to seek salvation at the hands of a Savior. And so here Christ is saying that he is rejoicing in the fact that these things concerning the wickedness of these Israelite cities and the need for repentance has been hidden from the wise and the prudent and yet revealed unto babes. What an encouragement that should be to us, that this call to repentance comes forth not to those who are clever, not to those who are necessarily intellectuals, but to ordinary people, to men and women who don't have great academic capacities, to men and women who do not look to themselves and are proud of their own abilities, but look to that which Christ offers in the gospel itself. And as he is speaking to those that he is calling to repentance, he tells us a number of things. One of the things he tells us and reminds us is that the Christian faith is a revealed faith. And then he speaks about the fact that this revealed faith, that salvation that is to be found in this revealed faith, is to be found through Christ alone. And then he calls on those who hear this revealed faith expounded to come to him as the one who alone can bestow salvation upon them. And that's what I want us to look at this morning. The fact that the Christian faith, we are told, is a revealed faith. The fact that salvation comes through Christ and Christ alone, and the fact that Christ in his goodness and mercy calls sinners to himself. Well, the first of these, the Christian faith, is a revealed faith, is found particularly in the first two verses. I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. And here we are reminded that we cannot learn to be a Christian by gathering knowledge to ourselves. It's quite incredible how many men and women sit under the gospel for years, maybe even decades, and they think that all they need is a little bit more information. All they need is a little bit more insight. And then the point will come when they are so understanding of the truth of the gospel that they will become Christians. But what Jesus is reminding us of here is that no amount of wisdom and no amount of experience could ever enable us to grasp the gospel as God's way of salvation. And the reason for that is the gospel and the way of salvation, these are spiritual matters. They are things revealed by God. And as I mentioned in the prayer, the natural mind is enmity against God. They are foolishness. The things of the Spirit are foolishness to the natural mind. And simply amassing more knowledge and more teaching and more experience of what is revealed in the Bible in and of itself will get us no further than being people stuffed with knowledge and stuffed with experience and yet void of the grace of God in Christ. And so we are reminded that we cannot learn to be a Christian in that sense. We cannot sit a class and become a Christian. Only the Father knows Christ, we are told. Verse 27, no man knoweth the Son but the Father. No man knows Christ but God the Father. You see, for us, knowing Christ is the difference between life and death, between eternal life and eternal death. That is the nub of the matter. It is not a matter of, as I've said, learning or experience. It is a matter of knowing Christ. And what we are being told here is that we cannot know Christ ourselves. Only the Father can reveal Christ. Only the Father has made Christ known. And we should consider this as we approach the gospel this morning and think, what a wonderful thing it is that God has sent his Son into the world. What a thing it is that God has revealed Christ in the scriptures. What a thing it is that he has taken this that seemed good in his sight, and he has made it known to others. Only knowing Christ is that which will save us, and so to be ignorant of him is eternal death. But the Father knows what needs to be revealed. The Father has revealed everything that is necessary for salvation in the scriptures. And God decides what he reveals and to whom he reveals it. No man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. We are reminded that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And what is being meant by that is this. It's not a matter of your connections. Doesn't matter who your mum or your dad was. Doesn't matter if you're the child of a minister or the child of an elder. It doesn't matter if you're connected with this church or that church or the next church. These things have no importance when it comes to our relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not a question of flesh and blood. It's not a question of connections. It's not a question of relationships. It's a question of knowing the Son. And only the Father can reveal the Son to us. And the Son alone, as we will see, reveals himself to whomsoever he wills. When a man relies upon his own wisdom to save him, he will discover that he professes himself to be wise and becomes a fool. That's what happens when we rest upon our own wisdom to save us. God hides the truth from us. God blinds our eyes. Notice, spiritual blindness is the result of unbelief. It's the consequence of unbelief. We are told that the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. You remember that context. It's telling how God made such a revelation that it is simply astounding to consider. The God who caused the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And over against that we have this statement, that the God of this world hath blinded the minds of those who believe not. They refused to heed that great revelation of God the Father. They believed to, as it were, bathe in the glory of the showing forth of the Son of God become man. And the consequence of that unbelief is spiritual blindness, blindness of mind. But here is Christ, as we will see shortly. Here is Christ, and he's saying to men and women who had done that, that if they but bow the knee, if they but acknowledge that they're blind, if they but cast themselves on God's grace and ask him to reveal what is hidden from us, God will show us the truth. What a wonderful thing that is. We don't deserve the truth. We don't deserve to know Christ. We don't deserve to have him revealed to us. And yet here is the offended God, and he is saying to us, bow the knee. Embrace Christ. Believe on Christ. And you will know him, and you will be saved. Now that's not a popular truth. You see, there are many, and I've no doubt there are many in our own denomination who sit week after week under the gospel, and they think that they can become a Christian when they please. Now, they might not be brazen enough to put that in so many words, but they might think like this: well, when I'm older, I'll become a Christian. Or when I've had my fun, I'll become a Christian. I'm too young to be a Christian just now. There's too much hassle being a Christian just now. And they might be thinking like that, and they're fondly looking forward, and they're thinking, yes, I'll make sure I'm a Christian before I die. Or I'll make sure I'm a Christian when I've settled down, and so on and so forth. I'll make sure that I come to Christ. Dear friends, you can't. That's the bottom line. You can have all the wishful thoughts in your mind that you will come to Christ when it suits you, but that is not what the gospel is about. God the Father calls you to come, and to come now. Christ calls you. It's not just a matter of accepting or adopting a new set of beliefs. That doesn't make you a Christian. It's not just a matter of regular attendance at the Church of God. That doesn't make you a Christian. It's not reading your Bible at family worship. It's not saying your prayers. It's knowing Christ. And if you don't know Christ, all of these other things, do you know what they are? They're a millstone around your neck. From the day of judgment, they will rise up and condemn you. And they will say to you, you knew so much. You heard so much. You were told so often that these things wouldn't save you. Why did you trust to them? And at last there will be a curse, which was intended as a blessing. And so we are reminded that we need spiritual insight. We need spiritual light. We are blind by nature. And if the Spirit of God does not open our eyes, we will be forever blind. You might think that's hard. You might say, where's the gospel in that? Well, let me tell you this. Christ says, I thank thee, O Father. He rejoiced in this truth. He rejoiced in the fact that those who were so puffed up in their self-importance and that had an idea of their own capacities, the wise and the prudent, they're called. They were ignorant. And the poor and the needy were taught. He rejoiced in the fact that it pleased the Father to make Christ known. Make Christ known, not on the basis of intellectual pursuit, of academic ability, of status or wealth in the community, but to make Christ known through the gospel and through the foolishness of preaching. So the Christian faith is a revealed faith. Why? Because that's the way God wanted it to be. The second thing I want us to notice is that God reveals salvation through Jesus Christ alone. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. You see, the ultimate goal of salvation is to know Christ even as we are known of him, and to know the Father. And if we know Christ, and if we know the Father, that is life eternal. That is the goal of the gospel. It is to bring sinners to that knowledge of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And all else that happens in our Christian experience is channeled towards that end. All of the doctrine, all of the experience, all of the teaching in the scripture is that we might know him who is life eternal. And so we are reminded that the ultimate goal of salvation is to know Christ and to know the Father. And only Christ knows the Father. Do you see how he's tying all this in? If you have a logical frame of mind, you will see how neatly this all works together. The Father reveals the Son. The Son reveals the Father. It is absolutely necessary to know Christ to be saved. And it is absolutely necessary to know the Father to be saved. The Father reveals the Son savingly. And the Son reveals the Father savingly. And if you think about the whole of the gospel message of Christ, it is ultimately a revelation of God the Father. It is a revealing of God in his glory. Christ is the only revealer of the Father. Christ knows exactly what he's like. Remember what we're told. He is the express image of his person. Jesus himself said, I and my Father are one, or one thing. He reminds us that him that hath seen me, he tells Thomas, hath seen the Father. Do you want to know what the Father is like to the saving of your souls? Then you have to come to Christ. There's no shortcut. You can never simply take up a course of theology and come to know the Father apart from Christ. It must be through the revealer of the Father. He knows what the Father is like. He knows what the Father wants us to do. And he knows this because he is one with the Father and has intimate and unique knowledge of all that is true concerning the Father. And this is the one, remember, who is doing the calling. Come unto me. He's not standing like some puffed up academic saying, I know all these things and you're not going to hear them. He's not saying, I know I have these special insights into the Father and you've got to go through this special ritual and that special ritual and do this particular thing before you can come to know it. He says, just come to me, the revealer of the Father. And so the Father is known only through Christ. And we are told that all things has been entrusted to Christ. And notice what he says. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. All of this revelation of the Father, of the way of salvation, of what is needed to be saved, of Christ himself, all of it has been entrusted to Jesus Christ. He has all power. He has all grace. He has all the wisdom that is necessary to save anyone who comes to God through him. He that cometh to God, we're told in Hebrews, must believe that he is and is the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. But in order that we might receive that reward, in order that we might know him, we must come to the Son. We must come to Christ. And so the only way to the Father is Christ. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know, we are called in this pluralistic society to be more tolerant of others. We're told that we are to stop being so rigorously narrow-minded, that all of this talk about the uniqueness of Christ doesn't do us any good. But dear friends, that is the revelation of God. The Christian faith is unique. It doesn't stand with other religions, with false gods and false idols. It is the only way to the Father. There is no other salvation out of Christ. And we must hold to that. And we must defend that at all costs. There must be no compromise in this matter. For no man cometh to the Father but by Christ. What does that mean? It means that it is impossible to gain spiritual knowledge apart from Jesus Christ. It is impossible, and we're speaking about saving spiritual knowledge, it's impossible to gain saving spiritual knowledge from any other source. You will find it possible to gain a lot of knowledge. And you can discover a lot of knowledge about spiritual things. But having knowledge about spiritual things is not the same as having spiritual knowledge. Knowing what God is like is not the same as knowing the Father. That shouldn't be a difficult thing for us to grasp. If I were to describe to you my Father, and I told you about his characteristics, and I told you about what he looked like, and I told you the color of his hair and his eyes and how tall he was and so on, you might have a mass of things. You might even be able to go and do one of these identikit pictures of him so that it was almost identical, but you don't know my Father. And that's the reality with respect to Christ's Father. There is no knowing the Father in that saving way, but by knowing Christ in that saving way. Both are absolutely essential. Our destiny, whether we spend eternity in heaven or in hell, hinges upon our relationship with Jesus Christ. Whether we behold the throne with exceeding joy, or whether we are tormented in a lost eternity, depends upon our relationship to Jesus Christ. And that is why preaching Christ and Him crucified is so important and so central and crucial. That is why we need to heed Christ, because salvation depends upon our knowing Christ. And knowing Christ, we will come to know the Father who is life eternal. And so we are reminded of the centrality of Christ in all that we preach, in all that we should be seeking to do in gospel terms. And it is against that background that we have this staggering invitation of Jesus. I say staggering because here he is, he's holding all the cards. Here is Israel, and it deserves nothing but damnation. And yet he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." Dear friends, that's the gospel. It is a word of invitation to unworthy and unmeriting sinners to come, to become acquainted with Christ, and to come to know the Father himself. You'll notice that when Jesus gives this mini sermon, he gives it with 3 points. He says, come, take, and learn. That's how simple the gospel is. Come. Come to what? Come to him alone. Stop wasting your time looking for salvation anywhere else. Stop pinning your hopes upon good works. Stop relying upon your historic knowledge of the Christian faith. Look to Christ. You see, there's no salvation apart from him. On your deathbed, what will your good works do for you? Only Christ will be a companion that is worth having on your deathbed. But not just on your deathbed, but now. You young folks, you might think that being a Christian's for old people. Not at all. Jesus called children to himself. He would have them come to know him. When Paul writes his letters to the churches, he tells children that they are to do this or to do that or to do the next thing. Christ calls you, whether you're a child or an old man or woman or middle-aged, he calls you to come to him. And he calls you to come to him, trusting to him and to no other. You know what it's like, you go to the doctor's surgery and you find a doctor that's really good, and you think, oh, I'll go to this doctor whenever I can. And then you phone up for an appointment and he's not there, and you get someone else. And lo and behold, they're good too. So your loyalties are divided, and you come to the point where when you phone up and you say, can I have an appointment? Well, Dr. So-and-so is available. Dr. So-and-so isn't available. Oh, it doesn't matter. Either will do. That's not how you take Christ. It is Christ or nobody. Christ alone is your only Saviour. And so you are to trust him and no other. But notice how he says, he doesn't just say come, he says come as you are. This is the great bane of so much trouble in the Christian church, that men and women are trying to make themselves fit for coming to Christ. But Jesus says, come as you are. Notice what he says. All ye that labour and are heavy laden. He doesn't say finish the job and then come. He doesn't say get a good night's rest and then come. He says, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. You're right in the midst of toil. It's hard. It's difficult. You don't know where else to turn. Come to me, says Jesus. All ye that labour and are heavy laden. He speaks to the weak. He speaks to those who are bowed down with the weight of the guilt of their own sins, who feel that there is no salvation for the likes of them. And he says, come, and come to me. So come to him alone, and come to him as you are, and come without delay. This is an urgent thing. Come. Why? Because you need rest now. Don't put it off till your deathbed. Don't put it off till your retirement. Don't put it off until your adulthood. You need rest from the guilt of your sins now. Why? Because if you die, your sins will damn you. You need them dealt with now. You don't have the luxury of saying, well, 20 years down the road, I'll get my sins dealt with. That's not your prerogative. You are told to come now. You remember how in Isaiah 54 we have it. Today is the day of salvation. Now's the time for salvation. Don't wait until you improve. Perhaps you don't feel sorry enough for your sins. And you think to yourself, I'll come when I'm sorry for my sins. No, come now and ask Christ to make you sorrier for your sins. Your repentance may be shallow. Well, come now with shallow repentance and ask Christ to make it deeper. Come unto me and come now. You know, Christ as the unique revealer of the Father is not reluctant to reveal the Father to those who come. He's not reluctant. He calls on you to come in the state you're in and come to him now. He won't send you away. Look at what he says, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What a wonderful thing that is. You're not called to come to somebody with a hard yoke and a whip to make sure you bow. He's meek and he's lowly, and his yoke is easy. And his burden is light, and he calls you to come to him. So come, that is the first point of Christ's mini-sermon. The second is this take. You come to Christ and you take something. What do you take? You take his yoke. Now think about the picture. Two oxen. One with no strength and one with all strength. And you are called like that oxen with no strength. to take his yoke. He will do it all. Do you need righteousness to be acceptable to God? Well, there's all righteousness in Christ, perfect righteousness. Everything you need. Do you need the forgiveness of sins? You'll find that in Christ. Do you need pardon? Do you need mercy? Do you need grace? All of these things you will find. Take these things. You see, coming involves submission to Christ as your Lord. Submit your mind to his divine wisdom. Submit your heart to his divine mercy. And submit your life to his divine control. Take that yoke, and you won't find anything to complain about in the taking of that yoke. You're not called to give. It's not come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and give me this, that, or the next thing. All the righteousness you need for acceptance with God is to be found in Jesus Christ, the Beloved. And that's why when Paul is writing to the Ephesians, that's what he says, you are accepted in the Beloved. What a wonderful truth that is. And then he says, learn. You see, when you come to Christ and you take his yoke and you bow to his yoke in submission, he becomes your teacher. He says, learn of me. Until the day you die, you'll be a pupil. You'll never graduate from the school of Christ. You'll never come out with flying colors. You might have many a resit, and you might have to go back and repeat a year or two because of backsliding or whatever, but you will never graduate until glory. But you will always learn, and you will always be taught. You will learn about the Father experientially. You will learn how to look at this world and see the Father's handprints all over it. You will look at the chaos of society and the world today, and you will say, it's in the Father's hands. Is that a wonderful thing? To know that what men and women might think as chaos and a descent into degeneracy is ultimately in the hands of God. And that all things, even these horrible things, work together for good to those who love God. You will learn about the Father's law, not the way the Pharisees learned it, so that they could tell you there's X number of positive laws and X number of negative laws, but you'll learn it this way. If you love me, keep my commandments. You won't worry whether there's 600 laws or 400 laws or 450 laws. Is it a commandment of God? Give me grace to keep it. You'll learn about his law. You'll learn about God's will and goal for you. You'll learn that there is a destiny awaits those who are in Christ. Many mansions. Presence of God. No more tears. Led and fed by the Lamb. Glory forever and ever. You will learn all these things because Jesus will teach you. But you will also learn his patience and his love and his mercy and his blessings and his faithfulness. You'll learn all about Christ in that regard. You have it here. What a response, or what a follow-on from the condemnation to an unrepentant nation. Come unto me. This is the Father that Christ will reveal This is the Christ that the Father has revealed. He is the one who calls sinners like you and me to come to him and to take his yoke upon us and learn of him. And here is the promise. You will find rest for your souls. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we bless thee and we thank thee for thy kindness and grace, and pray that in thy mercy thou'lt enable us to rejoice in the revelation both of thyself through Christ and of Christ in the sending him into the world and through the Old Testament prophets. Heavenly Father, be pleased to call us. Keep us from legalism. Keep us from a works righteousness. Keep us from thinking that somehow or other we have arrived. But help us to see that that call to come to Christ is as relevant to each and every one of us today as it was in the day when he called. Go before us, bless us in our parting psalm, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen.
Let us conclude singing from Psalm 125. We'll sing the whole of this psalm to God's praise. Psalm 125. They and the Lord that firmly trust shall be like Zion Hill, which at no time can be removed, but standeth ever still. As round about Jerusalem the mountains stand alway, the Lord his folk doth compass so from henceforth and for aye. The whole psalm to God's praise.
They in the Lord
that firmly trust shall be like Zion Hill, which at no time can be removed, but standeth ever still. As round about Jerusalem the mountains stand alway, the Lord his folk doth compass so from henceforth and for aye. For ill men draw upon the lot of justice shall abide, lest righteous men stretch forth their hands unto stand for the benediction. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Amen.